Hi, this is Satan's Angel. I am the Queen of the Fire Tassels, and I'm on the road with Dr. Brian. Come into our lair.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere.
Folks, this is Dr. Brian King. I'm here in San Francisco, California, specifically North Beach, one of my favorite neighborhoods and one of my favorite cities in the world. I love this place so much. There's a tremendous amount of history here, folks. The very first topless dancer took the stage right across the street from me at a place called the Condor. That, of course, led to stripping in general and then the burlesque movement, which gets me to today's interviewee. The person I'm about to introduce in today's interview has had a tremendous career in entertainment. At 1961, first gone on one of these stages back behind me in a contest. Took off her top, won a bunch of money, and never looked back. She was a pioneer of lots of different forms of burlesque entertainment, including developing the fire tassels technique, which became her signature move. Performed all over the world, had stints in Vegas, dated movie stars, it's just an amazing, phenomenal career this woman had. She's a fantastic person. I was lucky enough to get to talk to her. Folks, without wasting any more of your time, please, Angel Walker, otherwise known as Satan's Angel. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me. Thank you for having me here in your hotel room.
I know. I got Angel in my hotel room. That puts me in quite a category.
Considering I'm queer, yeah, it's really going to put you
it's an exclusive group here. Not too many people can say they've had you in their bedroom. Exclusive, yeah. So Angel, tell me a little bit about yourself. When did you get started doing burlesque?
I actually graduated from high school, and in 1961, I went to work for a company, and I was like a PBX operator. And one day one of the girls from the office came in and said, "Oh my gosh, there's an amateur strip contest."
Uh-huh.
I was living in San Francisco, and I lived right down from Broadway, which was known as North Beach. And it was just club after club after club after club after club. It was crazy. And so they said, there's an amateur topless. Now, we were fighting to go topless while the East Coast was...
And when was this?
This was 1961.
Okay. So they were still kind of, in the beginning of sort of that movement.
Right. I mean, I don't even think they had invented pantyhose yet. You know,
we were still
wearing garter belts and things like that.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I thought so. And so we all went that night. We took our fake IDs, you know, our steel pack of cigarettes, Beehive the hairdo, Cleopatra makeup, and Mom's old cocktail dress. And we just kind of strutted our way in, you know, like we were 25 years old. They let us in, and what they would do is the comedian, he would get up on stage and say, "All right, it's amateur strip contest time. Topless, and we want to see those boobies." Well, you only went down to bra, garter panties. And
they didn't even go full topless?
No, you just took your dress off.
Okay.
So I was watching, and this girl, you know, they each one did their thing, and then he put the hand above each person's head, and the girl won $100, and I'm making $99 every 2 weeks, busting my hump, you know, for $99, and I looked up at that girl on stage, and I said, "I'm in the wrong business." I went home that night, and I took my sexiest dress, which was a cotton Chinese dress with two splits, the Mandarin collar. Practice taking it off, you know, and I said, So I went down, and that was a Friday night. I went down Saturday night and entered their supposedly topless amateur strip contest. And I won, and I kept on winning. And finally, one of the club owners said, "You're killing me here, you know, because I'm making $100. So he hired me as an exotic dancer, and actually, he hired me as a professional dancer.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't go-go and you weren't a stripper yet.
Right.
You know, you were kind of, you had to have a gimmick, but so I twirled tassels and I was a little bit like you. I was a clown, a comedian.
Yeah, okay.
Messed with the audience, messed with the guys.
I bet they love that. So.
And I moved in an old hotel that I was paying $5 a week for a room, that you shared bathrooms down the hall.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I upgraded to $9 a week. I had a sink in my room.
Is that in the Tenderloin, or was that?
Actually, it was way down by the wharf. As you as you would go down North Beach, it'd just go right into the wharf. My first actual paid strip was, and I tell this story a lot, I walk into the dressing room, long makeup table with all the lights, wardrobe all hanging here, and here's this old broad sitting in the corner, and she's, you know, chain smoking, and she's got something on the rocks, you know, maybe bourbon or scotch or whatever, and she's sitting there, and she's like, and she looks down at me, and she goes, "Yeah, God, not another new kid on the block," you know, and I was like, well, you know, right away, I'm offended, you know,
yeah.
And she's smoking, and I'm like, you know, whatever, and she goes, "So what do you do, kid?" And I said, "What do you mean, what do I do?" "Well, what's your act?" "I'm a tassel twirler." "No, brother, not another tassel twirler." And I said, "Hey, I twirl five of them puppies." You know, uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, you know. And she was like, "Yeah, well, maybe that's good, but somebody will steal it from you. So what you need is, you need something better than that." And I just got really mad. I turned around. I said, "What do you want me to do, set the bitches on fire?" She goes, "Now that's a gimmick."
Mm-hmm.
So here was this old broad of about 35 sitting there. You know what I mean? And here I'm, you know, like almost 70 years old and I'm stripping. No, I'm an old broad. I'd love to be 35 again. So basically that's how I started. And I wanted to use Hell's Angel because it was catchy. And I was a little firecracker anyway. So I wanted to use the Hell's Angel, and we couldn't use Hell on the radio. It didn't go in the paper, didn't go on the marquees. Mm-hmm. Nobody swore. So we were trying to think, we thought of Angel Baby, Satin Angel, Angel Doll, like the actress Arlene Doll.
Yeah.
And finally, Jerry Rosenberg, who is probably about a 600-pound Jewish guy who did PR for the Strip, rode around in a canary yellow dune buggy that was made into like a convertible. Funny, it was big cigars. Funniest sucker he ever saw.
Wow.
And he thought about all this weird crap that we used to do. And he thought up Satan's Angel. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you know, because we had handles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they would say, you know, like Susie Smith, or Sandy Champagne, the toast of New Orleans, hotter than a shot of Jack Daniel or tequila or something like that.
Yeah.
So I was known as Satan's Angel, the devil's own mistress.
There's a movie out about you.
Right.
It's called Satan's Angel, Queen of the Fire Tassels, something like that, right?
Yeah, it's called Satan's Angel, the movie.
Okay.
Queen of the Fire Tassels. And so the book that I'm doing now, I'll probably do it Satan's Angel, the book, you know? I don't know. I mean, in one scene, I was sweating like a dog. The sweat was pouring down me. I was like, oh my God, that's an awful shot. But that's what they do, you know, those directors. They want that natural, you know.
Yeah,
I get up in the morning and my hair is in a ponytail and it's like a pebble sticking straight up. And I come out, I'm looking like, what the fuck is this, you know? "Good morning, Angel. Oh my God, you're filming me?" You know, that kind of a thing.
How long did they film you?
14 months. Well, when the movie came out, I was thinking about retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And only because I didn't want to do you, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to work every, you know, single week or two times a week, traveling all over the world in the United States, you know, with my movie.
Yeah.
I'm too old.
That's
a pain. Do I look like I'm 25 here? You know, I'm almost 70 years old, you know, pushing 90. You know, I can't do this anymore, so I don't...
I definitely feel you. The road can be a bitch, and especially...
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know either. I don't know either. It's meeting people like you that actually keep me going. We're like, can you give me a quick story?
Oh, let's see.
Just give me a short
one? Yeah. Short one would be... I went to work at the Plasma Cal in Miami Beach, which Dixie Evans worked there for 10 solid years straight. Mm-hmm. Very, very fabulous place. Came in a day early. I was staying at the Fountain Blue. I went and saw the show at the Plasma Cal. Went over. heard this little jazz quartet in the lounge. I thought, ah, heck, you know, let me have a little Grand Wanya before I go to bed. And popped into the lounge. There was nobody there but some, like, hippie-looking dude at the end of the bar. And I told the bartender, buy him a drink, you know. So he took his drink and he came down and he sat there next to me. We got to talking, you know. And we had quite a few drinks. And next morning when I woke up, we were sitting on the balcony having Eggs Benedict. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, oh, so... let's see, I forgot your name, but you did tell me you were from Boston. He said, no, Angel, I'm the drummer from the band Boston. More than a feeling.
That's awesome.
You know, I was young and, you know, crazy and wild. And, you know, you had to do straight things when you were first coming out. You know, like when people wanted to come out in the 50s and 60s, you couldn't, and thank God for hippieism, you know. Mm-hmm. The hippie movement, and burn the bra, everybody's queer, everybody loves everybody, nobody gives a damn. And so you did a lot of things that you didn't normally do. You know, you slept with people that you didn't want to sleep with.
And you, still
you married
that now.
People, you know,
yeah.
And had kids and all this. I mean, I look at this big old butch, you know, and I go... are you guys coming over, you know, blah, 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 and she'll say, well, I'd love to, but my grandkids are coming. My what? Oh, yeah, I was married for years before. I was like, really, you know?
Yeah, it's a different world.
Yeah, so now it's, you know, and then working on the road, you know, nobody, there's no way. You couldn't have Asians, you couldn't have Latins, and you couldn't have Blacks, and you sure in hell couldn't have queers.
Mm-hmm.
We all went through the back door, and that's how we got in, and they hated us, and I got beaten up a lot from the club owners, the mob,
really?
Yeah, mob in Kansas City beat the shit out of me all the time.
What happened there? What,
how'd
you get just the mob's
girl,
bad side?
Because girls would be jealous, you know, I was the feature, the star of the mm-hmm. show, and they'd say, well, you know, Angel's a queer, she's a lesbian. They'd say, what? You know, and I'd tell them, doesn't make any difference. I still mix and mingle with people. I still laugh and chatter and drink and carry on. And I'm better than any straight girl you got up there now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they throw me out if it was snowing or raining. And yeah, it was very...
Oh, shit.
It ain't like it is today. And so a lot of us lesbians in that time,
mm-hmm.
you know, we did a lot of things and took a lot of things so that we could be openly gay now.
Yeah.
There's only two men that I really slept with that I really enjoyed mm-hmm. being around, and I enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Bobby Darin and Frank Gorshin.
Mm-hmm.
Every other man that I was ever with could kiss my sagging 100-year-old ass. I only screwed Clint Eastwood because he was Clint Eastwood.
Was he?
You know,
how big was Clint back then? No, I don't mean. I'm not asking about his dick. Although, if you remember, please feel free. Now,
I do remember.
What kind of star
I'm
was
not gonna tell you.
At that time?
You have to see the movie. You have to be with me doing the Q&A. He was just coming out of the Rawhide series mm-hmm. and going into the spaghetti westerns.
Okay.
And so he wanted me to leave my job working on the Strip in Vegas and the big burlesque shows for Minsky. And stuff like that, and go and travel with him. And I said, absolutely not, I'm a star. Mm-hmm. I said to my mother, who's he? He's a cowboy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this guy's gonna be nothing. Why, because he's cute?
Yeah.
He's a lousy lay, you know, that kind of a thing, you know?
I love that Clint Eastwood's a lousy lay.
Yeah, blah, 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 you know? My mother's like, no, he's gonna be somebody. I go, Polly, mother, if you love him so much, you be with him, you know?
Yeah.
I'm very openly gay. My lady Terry's really cute. She's like, you know, a lot of people don't know I'm gay, Angel. Really? You're 6'2" and you're the biggest bull dyke in the world? I mean, look at her.
I met Terry earlier. I would not have guessed.
Look
she
how
was
beautiful
gay.
She is.
Terry's
you know?
Awesome.
And you know what I mean? And she goes, well, they don't know I'm gay. Then they're blind.
Yeah.
They're blind.
They're, don't, you know? You know, it's funny because there are some people out there that have these, you know, these coming out moments, and it's just like, really, we didn't. We already knew, you know.
Where were you, you know?
Yeah, like you're coming out to yourself, basically, you know. Do you get back to San Francisco very often?
Not enough.
Yeah.
I have a lot of good friends there, and I have family there, and I love the food there, and I was raised more Asian, so I love Chinatown, and all of us get together at the Mui Gui Wui Woo. I mean, then nobody speaks English, and you just give the old Our Father, you know, sign of the cross, hope you get what you order, because yeah, it's true Chinese food, you know.
There you have it. That's my interview with Angel Walker. Still a tremendous personality, still to this day at the age of 66, still entertaining people, still putting on the tassels. I don't know if she's lighting them on fire anymore, but nonetheless, a hell of a woman. Thanks for watching, folks. This has been On the Road with Dr. Brian.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues women.